So, guess what, everybody?
What?
Well, it's April of 2014.
It is?
Yes,
it is?
It's April of 2014, and the three of us bozos are, you know, deciding that we like hanging out, we like doing these drink and draws, and you know, watching bad movies and talking about comics, and we decide we're going to start a little podcast called Zero Issues.
Oh, yeah.
Da, da, da.
I mean, it was that long?
Fast forward 9 years into the future. The present. And it's now. We've been doing this show for 9 years.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
I was talking to someone the other day, and I said that I did a podcast. They're like, oh, how long have you been doing it? And I think I've been saying the same number. I've been saying like 6 years, obviously, for the past 3-4 years, something.
Well,
like
you've been wrong.
I've been wrong all the time.
I don't know what could have happened like 3 years ago that sort of threw off our concept of time.
What happened that might have warped my sense of time? Mm-hmm. I don't know. How strange.
Personally speaking, I'm commemorating the occasion by recording this episode in Merck's basement. I mean, of the old house. I don't know who lives here now, but they haven't heard me yet.
You broke into their house.
They haven't heard me yet.
This is where we used to do a podcast. Why did they change the locks? Well, let's do another one. Why not?
Sure, what the hell.
To 9 more years.
Oh, yeah. God.
The heat death of the universe, whatever's first.
Yeah.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Excelsior!
Hey, welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Zero Issues.
Yes,
yeah, it's us. I'm one of your hosts. My name's Kyle.
I'm Merc.
I continue to be Bri. You can call me Bri.
Despite it all, you're really sticking it out with the B and yep. Bri.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I support that choice.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I also do. I just didn't feel the need to say it.
Well, it's fine.
You know that you have my silent support.
That's true. It's always there. That's if you're ever feeling down, if you're doubting yourself at all, know that Kyle's silent support is there. And mm-hmm. then you'll feel better.
That's the goal.
Hey, guys.
That's the server. Yeah, huh?
Do you want to play a game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go to the warm-up and play a game.
All right. Okay, I'm just going to crawl through the warm-up tube. Just going to crawl through this vent.
The warm-up tube.
There's a vent straight to the furnace. Uh-oh.
Oh, why is it slimy in here?
Well, I mean.
It's so moist.
It's a Cronin hole.
Yeah.
So
you get to the warm-up through the Cronin hole.
Hmm.
All right, welcome to a brand new game. I have no name for it yet. I don't know, but like many of our games in the past, not recently much in the past, because since we haven't really been recording too much in person, we haven't used these in a while. The Marvel trading card set from what was it, 93 or whatever?
I missed you, Marvel, you beautiful bastards.
I know, they're so good. So here's how it's going to work. This is going to be rapid fire. Each of you will take a turn just rolling a die, and whatever number you get, I have 1 to 6, some sort of question that has to go to that character that you pulled. And you have to come up with something on the fly and improv kind of an answer. It's kind of like a combination of one of our games and also Character Storm, where you give a little information or something like that.
Okay.
You'll see as we go along. Every question from 1 to 6 is different.
I'm horny for it.
And let's do it. Of course, I'm the only one here with the cards since we're doing this on Zoom. So I will just randomly choose a card and you can roll and I'll show you. I'll flash the card to you and I'll read you the question.
Okay.
So who would like to go first?
I think Bri should go first.
Yeah, I'm going to go first. Yeah, I'm going to roll a dice.
Do it.
All right.
Typical six-sided die.
I'll pull your card, and you roll your die.
It is rolling, and I got a 1.
Okay, so I randomly picked this. This is Captain Britain.
Okay.
Brian Braddock, Captain Britain. Mm-hmm. And number 1 is, what's their go-to pickup line?
Ooh.
Core blimey!
Yeah, just core blimey. Just yelling core blimey all over the place. Well, this is a tough one. I'm having a hard time.
That's for like some the reason. Cousin to Corb Lundy. Anyway, sorry.
How'd you like to pull Excalibur out of these pants? I don't know why he's American. I don't understand.
No, but I like it. I was like, are you going to go the Excalibur angle? Yeah, all right. I like it.
It's the only way.
Like I said, rapid fire.
Yeah.
That's good. Next, Kyle.
I got a two.
Roll. A two. Okay, and I will... Oh. You got Tombstone.
Mm.
Spider-Man villain. Okay, number two. The embarrassing moment in a childhood that made them a villain.
Probably the day that they took that fateful trip to the chalk factory. They thought it was a chocolate factory. Turns out it was a chalk factory. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Chalk it up to bad timing. Mm-hmm.
Chalk, chalk, chalk it on heaven's door.
Ooh. I like it. I love all right. it.
Bri.
Yeah.
Bri, roll it.
I rolled a one again. That doesn't seem right.
Well, try that. Try roll again.
Let's see. Let's see what we got.
Four. I got a four.
Four. So this is Bucky. That's original Bucky.
Yeah.
Number four is their go-to drink in college and now.
Ooh. Well, their go-to drink in college was just double-fisting beers. It's, you know, it had to stop for a while, but... They have to be very careful now because if they pick one up too, you know, they can break the glass. It's very embarrassing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He'll just Winter Soldier that shit.
Yeah. Yep. He gets good and ripped. So that's why he's always double fisting those beers.
So what does he drink now?
Yeah. What does he do now?
Oh,
single fisting?
He just like has a keg. His alcoholism has actually increased quite a bit. He holds one keg up with his strong arm and then just has like a hose. He's just like, doing that all the time. That's his drinking choice.
Oh, that's good. That's
he's had a rough time, so I think that he's earned it.
Yeah, he's earned his alcoholism. He is, yeah. All right, so Kyle, roll.
I rolled a three.
All right, so you got get? The Human Torch.
Oh, yeah.
Like okay. The actual, like, Johnny Storm.
Yeah, he's showboating, you can tell.
What is their freaky, or who is their freaky secret crush? And the secret weird thing that they do to satisfy that obsession.
Bri is giving me quite the eye.
Sorry.
It's so the thing is that his secret crush was...
The thing is...
Yeah, no. The secret crush is Alicia Masters wearing a blonde wig. And what does he do to satisfy it? He just prays really hard.
He just tells her it's a brunette wig.
Mm.
Oh. He's a bad dude.
That's bad. He's a bad dude.
Yeah.
Dear Lord.
All right. So, bye-bye roll.
I got a two.
So, you got Iceman.
Iceman.
The Bobby opposite Drake. Of the Human Torch.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, number two. There is a variation depending on whether it was villain or hero. So what is their childhood trauma that made them a hero?
Oh! You know, I think what it was is that it was a daring ice cream truck robbery that very unfortunately, you know, a lot of ice cream cones were lost in this attempt.
No.
They hit the floor, they melted.
No!
They broke the refrigeration in it and they took a bunch, but they didn't take everything and they were just wasted. The real tragedy was he was late. He was late getting to the scene. So, you know, all the other kids got to eat all this ice cream that was going to go bad because, like, you know, the ice cream truck guy is really nice. But he didn't get there in time. And all they had was, like, the ones on the floor that were all, you know, melted. And
like a SpongeBob one with really, like, fucked up eyes.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So he vowed never again. He vowed never again. And he was always going to be there to make sure that things could stay cool.
And that's when his mutant power kicked in, triggered by that moment. Yeah.
But it was too late. It was too late.
But it was too late, yeah.
He's like, look, I made my own ice cream, but it's just snow. It's not very good.
Yeah. Snow cones suck. Final one, Kyle, roll.
I got a five.
Okay, you got Archangel.
I got Archangel.
Oh, yeah.
So number five is, tell me what they really think about their teammate or peer that starts with the letter S.
Yes.
So somebody who's on Archangel's team that starts with an S. Who starts with an S? Oh, Scott Summers, if you want to go that one.
I think you can do whatever you want.
Sage.
I'm trying to think of other X-Men whose names start with an S.
Yeah.
I'm getting really
stuck. I put
stuck.
S because I thought, I'm like, it's going to be super easy.
It's Superman.
Yeah. Sabretooth?
I mean, probably didn't like him.
I'd say probably, I mean, they were both there in the 90s.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, this guy, honestly, this is Archangel speaking, honestly, don't think too much of the guy, but I don't, and when I say that, I don't mean I have a low opinion of him. I just mean, like, I don't think that much about him.
Yeah.
But he smells really nice.
He smells piney. He's like Moss Man. But, you know, other than that, like, I don't know. I don't really give a shit either way. I got other stuff going on.
Yeah.
I got metal wings and I'm blue. Dabba-dee-dabba-die.
Dabba-dee-dabba-die. All right. And that's it.
And Storm nearby is just like, I'm glad I didn't have to hear what he thought about me.
You know, yeah. The thing about Storm, I don't think much of her.
I have metal wings and I'm flying around. I don't care.
And I'm blue. And that song isn't even out yet if it's the 90s.
Not 91, my god, no.
Mm-mm. So, shall we move on to the main, to the main topic?
Move on, mate.
What the f***?
Okay, this week we are talking about the best part of comics, the comment sections and the forums and the people who live there.
Yeah. Yes, we are dredging that topic now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like it's just gotten, like, I think we've all seen this at some point. Like, it just seems like it's gotten worse.
Yes.
Not that it was ever good.
Was always pretty bad in some respects.
But forums. You know, like, and it also depends on where you are and what the forum is and what the topic is and whatever. Like, there's some comic groups that I'm on, like on Facebook or whatever, that,
yeah.
For the most part, 95% or more is positive, and
sure.
Look at this cool stuff. Awesome. This is great.
Yeah, but we're not talking about those ones.
We're not talking about those. Yeah. Specifically, something that keep, like, you know how Facebook has just been, like, half your feed is suggested stuff now?
Yeah.
I keep getting, it's called Daily Bugle Spidey. And it's, they follow comic stuff, a lot of movie comic stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where the clicks are.
And I keep getting those suggested. And it's just hatred and toxic stuff.
About what? The guy just that's, anything?
Well, I mean, it's Daily Bugle. It's Jonah Jameson.
Fair.
It's very, very Snyder heavy.
Oh.
Very anti-Marvel. Yeah. A lot of that. A lot of that.
They're called Daily Bugle Spidey?
Daily Bugle Spidey.
Yeah, but they hate Marvel.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they like Marvel. It just seems
I'm
like
sure
a lot
like
of the...
I'm sure they like Spidey.
Yeah.
Especially the film stuff. They just seem to slam a lot. Or at least that's what I keep seeing coming up in my feed.
And that's sort of it, too, is too often when it's, like, you know, something that people have very, very, very fierce opinions, as they sometimes do in groups, especially if it's something very niche-y and everybody is sort of drawn to the same stuff, where, you know, just sometimes the... It could just be very, like, narrow, like a tunnel vision of it. Like, this is what is the correct opinion and this isn't, and it just can turn very,
Yeah.
You know, if you're not...
And it's...
if you're not
it seems like it's
that.
Immediately goes from, like, somebody posting a comment to, like, it just jumps to 11, where the next person that comments on that is like, you're a f***ing... Like, holy shit! Like...
That's getting bleeped! That's getting bleeped!
Yeah, that'll get bleeped.
Like, and explain why. Please explain why. Like, because your opinion is different than mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's unfortunately.
And the
all
reason
it
that
is.
Your opinion is different than mine is because you aren't as smart as I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
And again, it's all power. It's that feeling of power and feeling that I'm smart and I know things that you don't, and what you like is
Yeah.
Not the right thing, which doesn't make any sense.
I'd like to tie it to a you know, an older internet thing. I actually remember seeing this in an old Penny Arcade comic, and that's, you know, a comic that has not gone without controversy and their fans being sometimes shitty idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was an old comic where they, you know, they spelt out John Gabriel, Gabe being one of the main characters in the comic, his greater internet fuckwad theory, which is a very simple formula. It's normal person plus anonymity plus an audience equals total fuckwad.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, a lot of the stuff is, even if you're not entirely anonymous, there is that level of like, I'm never going to actually see this person in real life, and all these people are watching my take, so I can be just a terrible person, and it's fun. It's fun to, you know, hurt someone else's feelings for no reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kids can be so cruel.
We can? Thanks, Mom!
Ow! Cut out, Bart!
I'm going to tie it to a thing that I've kind of come to realize this, and I wasn't planning on bringing this up. I didn't even think about it until you just kind of mentioned stuff that the idea of, I don't know how to say it, like the realization that favorites, even just simple favorites, are like, it's kind of the base root of everything bad. And it sounds simplistic to say that, but that's where it starts. Even if it's like, you just have somebody like a sports team, your favorite sports team. Yep. That's cool and that's your favorite. But then it's when it gets notched up and it's like, it's your favorite. Now everybody else who doesn't like that and they like another team, they're fucking assholes.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, the most of the people are like, hey, that's fine. You like them. I like these guys. That's great. But it's those people that notch it up and it becomes more and more. It's sports teams. It's comic characters. It's political,
it's video game consoles,
it's religion, it's like, and you just amp it all up. It's like everybody has to have a favorite and everybody's that thing at exclusion of everything else.
Right.
When it's, and we've been taught that since we're kids, that, oh, what's your favorite? That's like a common question of like, oh, you like that? Oh, what's your favorite? And I've started in the past few years answering those questions. If somebody says, oh, you're a big movie fan, what's your favorite? I'm like, I don't have a favorite. I like a bunch of different movies and like a bunch of different things, and they're across the spectrum. I play music. I have a lot of friends who are musicians or big music nuts, and I've noticed a lot of them go down that rabbit hole too. There was somebody I knew when I was a kid who has become a professional musician that I ended up unfriending her on Facebook because she's in a metal band. And it was kind of the rise of, like, you know, like soft, not soft rock, but like folky rock stuff. She's like, this was shit. Like, nothing ever rocks out anymore. Yeah. I'm like, there's.
She couldn't stand AJJ.
You don't have to listen to it. It does. It's not there for everybody to like everything. Like, there's plenty of other things.
Well, it's interesting that you bring it back to childhood and. You know, everyone, you have to have a favorite. And this is a question that I've asked adults. And I think it's interesting that everyone does have a favorite. I will ask adults, what's your favorite color? And everybody has a response to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's immediate. And it's like, why do you have to have a favorite color? We're in our 40s. Why do we need favorite colors?
Yeah.
But we do.
And that's part of it. It's like we're hardwired now, and not that it's a genetic thing hardwired. It's a hardwired from childhood up that you have to develop favorites no matter what it is, like right down to color. Like, exactly. That's like, how ridiculously stupid is that? Like, you don't like other colors?
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole point is there's a giant spectrum of them, and they like contrast and play with each other. And that's why colors are beautiful. It's because they all exist. Yeah. Anyway, I think it's part of is that all of this has to be, so even if you have a preference, even if you have preferences, the idea that everything is like this, like extension of yourself, almost like everything is like, so like, it's important to your identity.
It's part of your identity.
And that is the part where it's like it's comic books, everybody. Like, it, you can like what you like, and there's so much. Same thing with bands. We were talking about like the metal thing. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, nothing rocks anymore. It's like, I guarantee you, plenty of stuff is rocking the exact way you like. You're just not looking hard enough.
Yeah.
It's there. Mm-hmm. You can find it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you can take any point in time, and there's metal bands, there's country bands,
yep.
there's rap bands, there's like symphonies, the classical, like there's, it's all that all has always existed. Not every, it's just not, you know, it ebbs and flows what's more popular, but it's all there.
Yeah.
And especially now, like there's more than like people complaining that like film is dead. And it's like, are you kidding me? Like there's more films being made now than ever.
Yeah.
In the point of time. Yeah,
they're not all getting huge theatrical releases, yeah. but they're still there. Yeah. And they're actually, they're more available because it's all, you know, so much of that stuff is put on right onto the internet where you can just yep. get it.
And more people have access to be able to do that stuff. And like yeah. independent cinema is more alive than ever.
You could make, you can make a really pretty good looking movie on your phone that everybody has.
It's true.
Yeah. Exactly.
And like comics, even too, people complain about like comics these days. It's like there is such a variety, like a wide variety of like yeah. great comics. Like there's so much good stuff. There always is. But I mean, I feel like there's tons of good stuff right now. There's so much of it. And it's just like, if you can't find something that you like that excites you more than the stuff that you hate, you need yeah. to look harder.
But
it's there.
I think that plays into the favorites from childhood
yeah.
thing, because it's so many that are like our age or around our age that grew up with a certain, like a certain Spider-Man
yeah.
that they enjoyed
well, yes,
that
of course.
One. And then it's not that thing anymore. Like it can't be. Like you can't have the exact same character and creators and through how ridiculously boring that would be.
And when they do that, when they go back and do that stuff, it often gets a really bad reception.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, you're just doing the same thing that you did 20 years ago. And it's like, yeah, but I thought you wanted that. It's like, not really. Yeah. No.
Like how often I see, because like I'm in my mid late 40s, mm-hmm. and on here, those comic groups are like, you know, like the Bronze Age kind of stuff. And people, like I said, most of them are commenting, and it's positive. But then they're like, well, I don't read any of the modern garbage or whatever. And I'm like, just
then go like, away.
I've stopped commenting on that years ago because it's like it's pointless. But it's the idea of like, oh wow, like you only like a certain thing now, and you're never going to find that thing. No matter, even if, like you said, if they try to recreate that or visit it, it's not going to be the same because they're going to view it as modern garbage. And
yeah.
it's sinking into that. Here's my favorite thing, and everything else is garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also not to mention when you read that you were 15 and you had a completely different chemical makeup and how you reacted to that thing and how excited you were mm-hmm. and how it all felt in your brain. And it's, you're never going to have that again. I hate to break it to you. So
yeah,
it's
time only moves in one direction, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Up.
So yeah, twirling towards freedom.
Yep.
So I wanted to, talk about a specific, you know, fan who had a problem and did something about it, and it kind of shaped comics in a way.
Hmm.
Y'all are familiar with Jason Todd.
Yes. Yep.
And how it was put to a vote, should he live or should he die? And he you know, the fans voted. And
what did they vote? I don't remember what they voted, though. I only remember the first two parts.
Let me just look this up real quick. And he died. He died.
Oh, Robin really? Yeah. died. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really close vote. It was like 72 votes difference
wow,
between
yeah.
whether he lived
oh,
or
not. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that.
And
yeah.
and years later in an interview with Denny O'Neill, he strongly suspects, and this might be hearsay, but he's of the belief that it was one guy. It was a dude in California who had a Mac and like rigged his phone to call like every couple
oh
minutes
goodness.
with a Robin must die vote. And if it were for that one guy, Jason Todd would have lived. Tim Drake never would have shown up. There would be no Red Hood. All this Batman-y stuff would be quite different. Like you look at the whole Bat family thing now and how like
yeah.
they're all buddies and they get ice cream and it's, you know, cute and shit. And that probably wouldn't exist without this one guy who was like, I want Robin to die.
Yeah.
And even at the time, Frank Miller was like, is quoted as saying like, this is the most cynical thing that they've ever done. Frank Miller, ladies and gentlemen.
For Frank Miller to say that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And a couple years later, he'd be like, yeah, Robin does suck.
But it would be interesting to break the fourth wall with that and do just a standalone story of Jason Todd responding to that idea that it was one guy in California that voted to kill him over and over again.
Yeah. What about the story of that one guy?
They track him down. They draw him. He shows up at his door.
Oh,
They draw the guy's house and the guy's himself without even
Jason Todd just beats him up like in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah. How many people want to kick some ass?
They drop the book on him.
It's Stan Stastio. It's Dan DiDio's evil twin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really. The way that I approach this is I just went on to a couple of these things, like especially that Daily Bugle Spidey thing, and I just found a couple of things. Like, and there's often a certain thread in these. Like, there's obviously the Snyder thing is a big thing that I see a lot.
Yeah.
And the hatred for Brie Larson for whatever reason.
Oh, my God.
So this was a post on Daily Bugle Spidey that Marvel Studios released a new documentary featuring Brie Larson's Captain Marvel on Disney Plus. So Disney Plus does those little like featurette things usually after, like they did one for She-Hulk after it came out with a little behind the scenes and Wakanda Forever, like all those. They've done them for all of them.
The special features disc on Disney Plus, basically.
Yeah, basically. And surprisingly, I don't think in the initial blurb really said anything negative about it. Like often, the guy that posts for that
can be pretty
harsh.
Okay.
But it was basically like, this is what it is, and all four episodes are on there. Blah 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 blah. And then of course you get there's on both sides. There's like, I watched the episode; it was quite good. Someone says like, and you get stuff like that. I loved. Whenever there's a Marvel docuseries, it's really just a commercial for their movies and TV shows. I wish they would stop doing it. Some of it's like that. And you know what? I totally agree. You don't need to make, like, whatever. Yeah. I like behind-the-scenes stuff, but when it seems like a commercial, it can be a little weird.
Right.
Then you get to, I'm not going to say names, but someone comments, I'd rather drink a cup of spit from Amy Winehouse than watch anything with Larson in it. The spit would be more humane.
So that's just like being a dick to two women for no reason, one of whom is dead. So, okay.
To which somebody replied, and at least the spit would have come from someone who had talent.
Oh my God. Like, you gotta be out of your absolute, like, that's the hatred towards her in particular. Like, she just became, she was like, they dared to like, oh, here's the character and here's the actor who's going to be like the first, you know, the main female led solo movie in a Marvel movie. So that she just had to just get all of the hating women from all of these.
Well, and that's somebody does kind of comment reading these comments.
It's like a cottage industry.
Yeah. I'm reading these comments. I never realized the traumatic damage she caused to Caucasian males. Yeah. I hope you all get the help that you need to overcome this. To which, like, I have most relevant, but it does. So I don't see, there's like, I don't know, 20 replies that I'm not even going to go into. But
a lot of time that stuff gets automatically hidden, which is lovely. I don't need to see that. But yeah, it's just ridiculous. It's just like you're just spewing such vicious, real hatred at somebody. Yeah. And it's just, they're in a comic book movie. They put out 8 of those a year.
Yeah, what did they do that was so bad to you?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what did they ever do? Nothing, as far as I can tell. I have no idea. There's just literally entire YouTube channels that seem to, like, literally every time she makes any media appearance, just pour over the footage to try to find anything that they can turn into hate against her. It's just, like, the most deranged stalker harassment behavior that it's just, for an audience, it's just mental.
And then you get responses like this. Like, the person that obviously didn't click the article, didn't read it, didn't understand it, but just, like, must respond. Don't like.
Yeah.
And it was like, thanks for the warning. Is the movie getting pushed back or pushed forward? I am confused. Is Disney using time travel to go back in time and cancel Brie Larson? Now that I would pay to see. It's like, what?
So you want someone, like, what do you mean by that? What?
Like, what?
That's nuts.
The movie's not getting pushed back. The movie's been out.
Yeah.
And this is just the feature after it. So somebody replied, because it's like the most relevant, you have, if the most relevant reply is clicked, somebody says, how did most relevant not hide this stupid comment? To which the original guy said, and I'm reading this in all grammatical glory, what advice did I give, Jake? In my defense, my cousins are really hot. Hot symbol, LOL. Looks like I hit a feminist nerve.
What?
Well, I'm glad to know that his cousins are hot.
Yeah, it's like...
Can somebody check on this dude's brain worms to see how they're doing? Like,
The worms are great. They're primo worms.
They're eaten.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah.
Like, so that's the range I see. Yeah. So you have just like positive, like, oh, you know what? I like the movie. Then there's like, oh, you know what? I don't like the movie. Done. And then there's the, you know what? I hate when they do these sort of documentary things. It's like a commercial. You know, it's constructive. You're explaining why you don't like something. And that's fine. Then it's just the vitriolic hatred.
Yeah.
You've seen the movie. You don't like it. Blah, 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 blah. And then the nonsensical, like, haven't read the thing. You're just triggered by something. And lose your shit.
You're just like, I was already angry about this.
Which is, they have a preconceived notion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was angry and I need to...
Often they haven't seen it. Like, same with comics. They complain about stuff. They clearly aren't reading it, haven't seen it, have no interest in seeing it or reading it because they have some preconceived notion about what it represents that makes them upset. But they're just going to spew hate at something that they've never seen and don't know anything about. It's just that that's the part where it's just like, what are we... People are spending a lot of their time doing this, too.
Yeah. What's wrong with us?
You can take a couple of hours out of your day posting about how much you hate Captain Marvel to watch it. And then at least you'll have seen it, and at least you'll know what you're talking about if you want to continue this. Or you could just let it go.
Do you dislike the character, or do you dislike the actor playing the character? Have you read a Captain Marvel book? Or do you just hate them because they don't look like you?
Yeah.
Because they don't reflect who you are.
Yeah.
And you don't feel like you get enough of that.
Speaking of which, here's one. Mm-hmm. And here, Bri, this is for you.
Thank you.
This is also under Daily Bugle Spidey.
Oh, no.
And there's Seth Rogen's new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Will feature an April O'Neil who is black and appears more heavy set than Megan Fox. Like, that's fucking hard to do.
Also, not the first time April's been black.
Yeah. Well, really? that comes in the comments, which is kind of fun. And it says, fans are livid about the race swap of April O'Neil. It seems that Hollywood has no love for redheads anymore. They are calling for April Woke Neil. Thoughts on this?
Woke? That's the stupidest dumb nickname I've ever heard in my life. And it's literally like, what is it?
Well, because it's they're perceived, if you race change, and that's their response. You're changing the character, and that's wokeism to people.
Yeah.
I mean, look who is cast as the turtles in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're turtles. Like, I mean, like, what about... Yeah,
they're turtles. They're turtles. They're turtles. Not even human beings.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Like, these are fictional characters who have had... especially the turtles in particular. Every version of that is different in some way. There's such a variance in different versions and different appearances and different... Like, this is normal by now. This is, like, part of, like, you know, this is part of the admission to the show. Is that you're going to have to sort of adapt. This version might be a bit different in this way. And, like, Baxter Stockman has been a black dude and a white guy. So what's the big deal here? You know? Shouldn't be a big deal.
Especially... In this, I see a lot of people commenting and say stuff like this. I feel like we keep losing all the redheads. I know she wasn't a redhead in any of the films, but she was in the original cartoon. And there's a couple of that art, like stuff about losing.
And there are red-haired characters in fiction than there should be by any rights, because people with red hair are actually kind of rare, but they're super saturated in media to the point where you think, oh, there must be a lot of red-haired people. There aren't that many of us. Can I say that still? I know I'm bald, but I've got some orange in my beard.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Listen to Kyle.
We can give up April. We can give up April. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm speaking on behalf of all gingies.
Although somebody says, ethnicity, spelling it wrong, shouldn't change for April O'Neil, but being super hot is a character trait for her that shouldn't change.
No, I mean, look,
if I can't jerk off to this fucking comic or cartoon or whatever, it's not for me. Why don't you just say that?
If Casey Jones doesn't look like the world's greasiest dude in a greasy mullet with his sleeves just jaggedly cut off and pants that could probably stand up on their own, then I won't watch this.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nuts. I mean, like, and so much of it, too, is just people being able to spew that and sometimes write at people. That's the problem where you run across it. I have, like, literally a page that's called The Chamber of Death Threats, and I don't know if I want to get into all of them. I'm just going to touch on a few things. Yeah. Not all, necessarily.
Yeah.
I want to talk about is it's not comic. Well, it is comic-related, which could be comic news, but now it's randomly in this episode. But so Amy Jo Johnson, who was in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, is the first Pink Ranger.
Oh, yeah.
So they're doing a new special where they're bringing back a number of old cast members, but she's not one of them coming back. But apparently people were gossiping and, like, harassing and, like, literally getting crappy about to her, saying that she wouldn't do the reunion because they wouldn't pay her enough. Like, just making it up. Spreading that around enough that people were starting to believe it. So she had to, like, literally make a statement to just be like, that's simply not true. Basically say, like, maybe I didn't want to wear spandex in my 50s or couldn't go to New Zealand for a month or none of your business.
Yeah.
And, it, like, to the point where just literally not being in something because people want them to be in it as a, like, a working, like, a person who has, like, who works and has a different career path. She does a lot of directing and stuff now. So it's like, just because they chose not to take a job that's a job for them, they're getting harassed. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're getting
That's another thing we haven't touched on, the idea of something that you've loved when you're younger, suddenly you've got an ownership of it, and everybody owes you for that ownership, and you have this feeling that I'm going to make a change, and it's, I don't like where this is going, so it should be this.
Right.
It's like, no, you're not the creator. You're an observer who watches this.
Your choice is to like or dislike something. You have no power beyond that.
Yeah. And I think we've given too much power.
Exactly.
You know what you have? You have the power to create something that, you know, you would like, maybe. So why don't you f***ing put your energy into that?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's, I think we've given too much power to, like, the listener or the watcher or the audience in not that, obviously, if nobody's reading it, then obviously there's a certain power. If a bunch of people are reading it, there's a certain power.
Right.
But the idea of, like, creators listening to things and letting that influence the creative juices and the direction of a story or a movie or a book or whatever. Like, I think that should not happen. You should just, not that you work in a void, but they're not your co-creator. Just make your stuff.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Not to flash back 1 second, the funny part was literally a handful of days later, that Amy Jo Johnson thing, she announced that she was writing a Power Rangers comic. So she's literally doing a Power Rangers project as a writer, and she literally said, like, she's got, has other projects she's working on, and she's got a 14-year-old kid, and you know what I mean? Like, and she doesn't really act much anymore because that's not her career, and it's just like, you literally...
Why are you doing the same thing you were doing when you were 50?
Yeah, put on a suit where we can't see your face anyway.
Yeah. Steven Seagal. Literally, I'm not doing this, but, like, that was, like, let's let this sort of, like, you know, everyone gets excited about this, and then, like, a week later, she'll announce her comic project, and that would be exciting. Mm-hmm. It's like, instead, everybody just flew off the handle like maniacs and kind of ruined it. So, just, you know, maybe that's the thing. You see, the social media companies are all kind of having a hard time, and, you know, maybe some of them will go under, and maybe that's fine. Maybe we don't need so much of this.
Yeah.
I want to take us on a brief little journey over to the world of the Transformers.
More than meets the eye.
Yeah. Or maybe they're not more than meet. Maybe, no, you know what? That's a bad segue. I'm talking about something called Truck Not Monkey. This is, you know, change is bad in an eggshell. In, you know, the mid-90s when Transformers had sort of petered out, and they were bringing it back. They were bringing it back for a new generation of kids. This time the Transformers didn't turn into trucks and jets and a gun. They turned into animals instead.
Beasties.
That's in here in Canada, beasties.
Yes.
Beasties.
Here in Canada? Oh, was the title
everywhere
something
else
different?
In the Beast world Wars. It was called Beast Wars.
Yeah.
Oh.
But here it was called Beasties.
And I think Canada literally had a rule that you couldn't have wars or war in a title of something really? For children.
In a title. Makes
a lot of the older Transformers fans were like, but Optimus Prime turns into a truck, not a stupid monkey. And that sort of got, you know, memed into truck, not monkey, T-R-U-K-K, not M-U-N-K-Y.
yes.
And then yeah, it was basically, you know, it's basically, oh, this thing that I liked changed and now it's ruined forever. And Transformers has been through that a bunch of times. They're like, oh, this Transformer's a girl, but it was already established that all Transformers are genderless. Like, yeah, but clearly a lot of them are male presenting. So you could have one that's a female Transformer. It's okay. But the capper on this is that he was never a monkey because he turned into a gorilla, which is an ape. You dumb idiots.
It is true.
You dumb son of a
bitch. I mean, like, Transformers
fans. You got to see a gorilla fight a T-Rex, and then they both turned into robots. How do you not like that?
It's great. It's just a good time. Yes. And I mean, like, Transformers fans are usually pretty good about change, right? They love Rodimus Prime. Loved him, famously.
I mean, look, not all change is good.
Fair. It's true. You're not wrong.
But, okay, so here's another thing to consider as well.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it was maybe even Bowie. It was like a David Bowie voiceover thing.
Mm.
Or somebody else. Like, it was an artist of some sort of bigger stature that was... And it was their voiceover and they had... In the little video that I saw. And it was like artists, just create. Just do the thing. Make... And it's okay to make things that don't work. It's okay to fail. And I thought, you know what? Like on a smaller scale of doing a drawing and going, ah, that sucks. That didn't work.
Yeah.
But it also works on a bigger scale too. You can be a director or like a screenwriter and make a movie and go, maybe that didn't work. Like, not to mention there's a million moving parts and a lot of people involved.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't work out. And that's fine,
you
too.
You can have a movie that you're like, ooh, that was not good. You're going to, like, any filmmaker of an actor or whatever is going to have stuff they look back on and go, ooh, that
I'm not. Yeah, but guess what? That's probably somebody's favorite movie.
There's that. And then there's also the fact that, like, you learn from those things. But it doesn't have to be that, like, people get berated on the internet and
it's threatened a movie.
And... whatever, like, it's a film and it's art and it's somebody made some art and it's not perfect and it didn't appeal to you and maybe it didn't work out the way they wanted either. So
and no one died.
Move on.
And no one died. Yeah. I mean, hopefully.
And unless it's Twilight Zone or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, like, sometimes, sometimes stuff happens and let's. No one
like
should
the weakest
die.
Weakest segment in that movie, anyway.
Yeah. Does anyone else have anything else?
No, the Twilight Zone thing sort of sucked it out of me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You don't have to apologize. You're not John Landis.
Oh.
Or Max Landis. Fuck him too. Anyway.
Yeah.
All Landises go. So there's just a few little bits that I was going to sort of pepper in, but then I forgot to do it.
I'll put that pepper right on top.
We talked about there have been death threats over goddamn movies and comic books far too many times. I feel like most creators, unfortunately, have probably received, they'd work on something that has an ardent enough fan base, which is most things these days, unfortunately, because everything's somebody's favorite and you have to defend it to the death or, you know, threaten to kill over it. At the time around John Kent was, you know, revealed as came out as bisexual in the... I think it was a year and a half ago, something like that.
Yes.
Tom Taylor, who's the writer, I guess, was getting a number of death threats from people. And what he would do, I guess what his response to that at the time was donating to LGBTQ organizations for each death threat a certain amount. I mean, probably comic writers probably don't make tons of money. And I don't know how big it was. He would do it like under the names of like the fans who threatened. He would donate in their name. So that was his response to people acting like
well
that.
Well played. Yeah. Well played.
Even in 1992, Dan Juergens apparently got late night calls at his house harassing him and his, like, family about the death of Superman.
Jeez.
Which was like, you know, it's Superman. He's, I mean, I guess it wasn't as common back then, but come on. Come on.
Come on. He was clearly always going to come back.
Yes. The best one I saw just about threats over, say, comic book movies, which is obviously, I'm sure, like, crazy. I think Zack Snyder himself said he gets, like, death threats over every movie he's ever made, just to bring Snyder up. But James Gunn also gets a lot. But apparently, one in particular, he got death threats before his Suicide Squad movie came out, threatening his life if he killed certain characters in a movie called The Suicide Squad. It's kind of in the title.
But if those characters killed themselves...
Yeah. You have to be right. Yeah, it has to be that way. And I did want to mention on a much lighter note, I was trying to find a very long thread, and I'm sure there's a lot of threads on various forums that have been going on for a long time, that was comic related. The best one I found was a thread on DVDtalk.com. That's right, DVDtalk, still going strong.
Wow.
This Blu-ray's a flash in the pan.
Yeah. Started on February 7th, 2008. The subject of this thread is Rob Liefeld, worst comic book artist ever. Which was a very popular thing at the time. I mean, like, it's well worn.
Yeah.
However, yeah. That's not the reason. I was just trying to find a long one. So people have been arguing about this since 2008. The most recent post in this thread, February 3rd this year. And it was post number 1023. So this thread has been going on for 15 years and has over 1,000 posts. still active as of literally two months ago. Like, maybe it's over now. Nobody's posted in 2 months.
Maybe, but yeah. I
don't know. I kind of want to keep an eye on this. I almost want to, like, check it every now and then.
What was the last post? Did you see it?
I think it was literally about, like, somebody posted something in response. It's like, oh, the thread's back or something. Like, I think they're used to going dormant and then something kicking it off again. So, and I know it sounds like we're shaking our heads, but there's something almost kind of weird and pure about it. And I hope this thread never ends.
Yeah. I get that.
And I hope DVD talk never goes away.
I get that. I get that very deeply.
Yeah.
I understand that. Because they're probably not even talking about Rob Liefeld anymore.
No, that's the thing. That was what began it, but you know that it's just...
Yeah.
Things take on weird lives of their own.
Five guys just talking in this forum forever.
You know what? That's kind of like this show.
It's kind of like the ongoing Facebook message we have that's been going on for 9 years.
Nine years.
More.
Yeah. Wow. Well...
Don't count out how many posts are in that one.
No, really. With that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up for a week. Let's meet here same time next week, Wednesday, and talk some more comics.
Same Z time, same Z channel.
In the meantime, if you want to check out our stuff, you can go to zeroissues.com. You can follow the podcast on your podcast thingy of choice.
There's a bunch of them.
You can check us out on Instagram under Zero Issues Pod.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Facebook, Zero Issues Comic Podcast. You can check us out individually. I would like to go first. My name is Kyle Lees, and you can check me out. Best place right now is Instagram under The Kyle Lees. That's where I post art stuff. Or by Googling The Kyle Lees, that should bring you to my store. That's me.
Right. Kyle. On. I'll go. I'm Bri Kotick. You can find my comic at welcometohereafter.com. You can also find me on under my name, so it's Brykotyk. I'm also on Instagram and Tumblr. For real, I'm on there. Check me out. There's still comic stuff happening on Tumblr. That's mostly what I get. I have, like, following a Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, like DC art.
Love his stuff.
Yeah. Like, it's just literally all, like, the, you know, style sheets and all the various stuff. There's, like, drawings for Batman and Robin, the movie. And I'm like, what? Yep. I had no idea. So that right there is often a day brightener right there. Tumblr, who knew?
I am Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM.ca. Merc on Facebook, Mercanaut, like astronaut, on Instagram. And also to add, to the Zero Issues thing, you can also find Zero Issues on YouTube.
Yes, of course.
And check out, I don't know, is it like Zero Issues, Zero Issues Comic Podcast, Zero, I don't even know.
If you type in Zero Issues Comic Podcast, you'll probably find it.
Yeah. It's on there. And we don't have a ton of stuff there. We try to throw a few things up there as often as
we can.
We'd
love to do more video stuff, but it is extra time consuming and we're generally keep pretty busy and, you know, but.
Yeah.
Whenever we can, we love to, and we throw it on there, and it would be cool if you
would
watch
it. We're all just so busy commenting on the internet that we don't have any time.
Exactly.
No, you're stupid.
People need to know my opinions about Rob Liefeld on DVDtalk.com.
My favorite color is red!
All right, Ocean City Defender, play us out. And then he plays us out.
Favorite color is red.
I'm glad he does it live every time.